Exodus chapter 9 tonight. Exodus chapter 9. We're plowing through this Old Testament book, and I've asked the Lord to open His Word to my heart, and I was running a little bit behind this week. I've been extremely busy in a good way, not bad things, good things, you know. And I was running a little bit behind, and I asked the Lord this morning, last night, early this morning, whatever, Lord, I need Your help. You're going to have to open Your Word to me, because I was plowing for tonight. And as soon as I got to the office today, I saw what this passage was about almost immediately. And God revealed it to me, opened it to me. Finished it about 3:10 this afternoon, typing it out. And we're going to give it to you tonight. Exodus chapter 9, I'm preaching on the whole chapter, but I want to begin our reading in verse 27. The Bible says, "And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. Moses said unto him, As soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord. The thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. But as for thee and thy servants," this is Moses speaking to Pharaoh, he said, "I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God." He's saying, I'm going to do this for you, but I know that you're still not going to fear God. And tonight I want to preach to you out of this chapter on no fear of God. No fear of God. Let's pray together. I share this thought. Father, we love You. Help us, I pray. Please forgive my sins. Help me to be clean. Anything in my heart that hinders You, forgive me, remove it, get it out. Speak to our hearts in a mighty way as only You can. Holy Spirit, do Your office work. And may every person here, starting from this pastor all the way through, may we truly have a heart that fears God. Speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to chapter 9 of this book, the Lord is currently in the midst of demonstrating His mighty power. He's been sending a series of plagues in which the gods of Egypt, the little g there, were shown to be powerless against the Almighty God of the Israelites. The four plagues that have already been sent when we come to chapter 9 tonight is we've already seen God turn the water to blood. We've seen Him send frogs. We've seen Him send lice and flies upon the land. Now in all of these opening four plagues, Pharaoh refused to listen to God, refused to submit to God's will for the Israelite people to be set free. Now opening the 9th chapter, I'm just going to read this verse to you where it says, "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go that they may serve me." This opening verse of this chapter, we see the Lord once again is giving Pharaoh an open door of opportunity to submit to His will. He sends Moses back to Pharaoh to tell him to let his people go that they may serve him. Now, one would think that Pharaoh is going to start paying a little bit of attention. But just to be honest with you, he doesn't have too much upstairs. And when all is said and done in this chapter, and we're going to read a lot of this chapter together, it may read all of it, I'm not sure. But when all is said and done in this chapter, there's a grievous murrain that will kill the animals. There's painful boils that break out on the people. And great balls of hail mingled with fire running along the ground will be upon the land. And when we come to the end of chapter 9, you can even look at it if you want to, but at the end of chapter 9, we see Pharaoh is still persistently hardening his heart and refusing to submit to the God of heaven. Now, while we can all sit back and criticize Pharaoh for this and make our assumptions as to why he responded this way, this chapter brings out the real problem with Pharaoh. Pharaoh's real problem is brought out by Moses in verse number 30 when he said, "But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God." You know, this is the true cause of Pharaoh's hard heart. This is the true cause of Pharaoh's stubbornness and downright ridiculous responses in the midst of judgment. The bottom line is he didn't fear God. There was no fear of God in his heart. Now I want to say this. When we look around our nation today and around the world And we see all the sin running rampant. I'm talking about abortions on every hand. I'm talking about homosexuality being praised in our midst, that there's nothing wrong with it, and all of this. When we see murders and cursings and idolatry and immorality, and on we can go, we can all ask the question, what's the problem? What is the problem? You know, when we see all the backbiting taking place and all the gossip and all the bitterness and all the pride and on we could go, we can all ask ourselves, what's the problem? The bottom line is when human beings go against the will of God, which is what Pharaoh is consistently doing and what all of us have been guilty of doing, what it reveals is that there's no fear of God before our eyes. This is the real problem. As a matter of fact, you can read in Romans chapter 3, and it starts talking about all these wicked things going on. And right in the middle of it, I think it's Romans 3:18. I can't remember exactly, but I believe it's Romans 3:18 where it says there's no fear of God before their eyes. See, the reason that the world's in the shape it's in and the reason that our nation is going in the wrong direction, listen to me, friends, it's because there's no fear of God, period. This is the real problem. Now, in this chapter, the Lord, as I was reading through it, He brought me to that immediately and said, this is what this chapter's about. And as a matter of fact, He began to show me that this is really what Pharaoh's life was about. And this is what all these plagues are about. And this is what the Israelites' problems are about. And this is what America's problems are about. It's about the problem of there's no fear of God. And I want to preach to you tonight on no fear of God and what it does, how it reveals itself. Matter of fact, there's five things in this chapter that we see no fear of God did. What summarized it? In other words, I want you to put your own life under a spiritual microscope tonight and ask yourself, do I really fear God? And before you answer that, you need to hear the message. Because if these things are evident in our lives, it is a revelation that at least in that area, I don't fear God. You with me where I'm going with this? No fear of God. Five things summarizes it right here in this chapter. Number one, no fear of God, first of all, refuses God's will. Refuses God's will. We see this in verses 1, 2, and following. Notice this. Then the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. Notice the language. Here's where I get the word refuse. Verse 2, for if thou refuse to let them go and will hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field. Look at verse number 7. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of Israel's of the Israelites dead. In other words, Moses told him, said, with this moraine that's going to break out on your cattle, there's not one cattle, not one animal that's going to die the Israelites, but every one of your animals are going to die. Pharaoh, whenever this breaks out and his animals are dying everywhere, he sends to the Israelites and just puts that under surveillance, if you will, and asks and seeks the answer, is any of their animals dead? And the Bible says in verse 7, not one of them was dead, not one. But notice how he responded. And it says right here, and the heart of Pharaoh was hard. And he did not let the people go. Look at verse number 12. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened unto them as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. Look at verse number 17. As yet, this is God speaking to Pharaoh, as yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. Look at verse number 34. And Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased. He sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. Neither would he let the children of Israel go as the Lord had spoken by Moses. You know the first thing the Lord showed me here that no fear of God did in Pharaoh's life is that it caused him to know what God's will was, but he absolutely refused to obey. He refused. He was not going to submit to the will of God in his life. The Lord sent Moses again and again to tell Pharaoh to let his people go. Let my people go. Let my people go. Let my people go. But notice how the Lord said, but if you refuse. In other words, he's saying, if you make the choice to refuse then you're going to suffer the consequences. You know what this tells me? This tells me that the mighty judgments that followed in this chapter came as a result of the choice made by Pharaoh to refuse to do what God told him to do. Verse 7, 12, 34, and 35 all tell us that Pharaoh's heart was hardened and he would not obey the Lord's will for his life. Verse 17 tells us how Pharaoh had pride in his heart. He was exalting himself against the Israelites. This goes to show that when a person does not fear the Lord, he or she is full of pride and they refuse to do what God tells them to do. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 4. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. Question. Let's apply this. Is there any area of your life? Now, nobody's perfect. I'm not asking, are you perfect? I'm the closest one to perfect here. I'm kidding with you, okay? I'm kidding. That's a joke. But I want you to ask yourself a question. Is there any area in your life where the word of God is spoken and you have not submitted? Now I'm pausing for emphasis. Is there anything God has told you, this is my will for you, and you've still not done it? If you haven't, and you've refused his will, that's because whoever you are, or at times I'm guilty of the same, at that time when we know God's telling us to do something and we don't do it, the problem is, well, I just can't do it. That's not the problem. The problem is, well, I'm just not qualified. That's not the problem. The problem is no fear of God. That's it. Let's stop sugarcoating things, okay? Let's stop making things that's against God okay, not as bad as that, or not as bad as this. The fact of the matter is, when God speaks and says you do this, if you don't fear God. It's that simple. Number two, no fear of God not only refuses God's will, but secondly, rejects God's power. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Something else the Lord pointed out to me in these verses is how Pharaoh not fearing God caused him to reject, now get this, clear demonstrations of the power of God. I mean, God was clearly demonstrating who he is. As a matter of fact, in verses 3 through 6, I'm not going to, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just announce the verses. I'll explain them. You can read them there in your seat just to save a little bit of time, okay? Verses 3 through 6, you don't have to read them. But if you'd like to read them while I'm just explaining them, let me tell you what's going on. In verses 3 through 6, the Lord appoints a set time. In other words, Moses said, God has appointed a set time, and that time is tomorrow. It's going to happen tomorrow. And he said, here's what's going to happen. He's going to send a grievous murrain on Egypt's animals, and all the cattle of Egypt dies. But not one of the Israelites' cattle dies. Not one. That is God demonstrating that he is Israel's God and he is much more powerful than any god in Egypt. Then in verses 8 through 11. Now again, you can read this later. You can read it there if you want to now. I said I was going to read a lot of this. I'm changing my mind. I'm going to let you read it if you want to, just to save a little bit of time. In verses 8 through 11, the Lord had told Moses and Aaron to take handfuls of ashes and to sprinkle them toward heaven. And these ashes caused boils and blains upon both men and beast throughout all of Egypt. And they were so bad that the magicians could not even stand before Moses. Who's the magicians? The one who tried to mimic God's power earlier on. But now God strikes them to the point that the one man who is speaking on God's behalf, those who spoke on Pharaoh's behalf, couldn't even stand before him. What's he doing? He's showing Pharaoh, I am God. He's demonstrating to Pharaoh, I have all power. Then in verses 13 to 35, I promise you, you won't read that by the time I get done reading this and so on. But the Lord sent Moses back to Pharaoh again. Now, this is after two plagues has already been unleashed in this chapter. Pharaoh's still not listening. And in verses 13 to 35, Moses is sent back to Pharaoh and said, tell him to let my people go. This time he would send all his plagues upon Pharaoh's heart, his servants, and his people. The Lord would send here direct, quote, grievous hail, such as they had never had before upon the land. And quoting here from Scripture, I quote here, the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground. When I'm studying what that fire was, a majority of people, I'm not going to argue here with people, but a majority of people believe that that was lightning going horizontal. That God was shooting lightning bolts on the ground. I can't prove that, but you can't really disprove it either. I'm not going to fight over that, but all I know is this, whatever it was pretty terrifying. That's all I know. The fact of the matter is, the hail killed everybody, every man and every beast that was left out in the field. These balls of hail were so powerful that it hit every living creature that was out in the field and it destroyed them. Now, you say, Jody, what are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. Within this story, we see the Lord sharing the purpose of these plagues. For instance, look at verse 16. Why did God send these things? Look at verse 16. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up for to show it, showing thee my power. And that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. In other words, God's saying this. I allowed you to come to come to the throne. I knew that you'd refuse me. I knew that you'd reject me. But I let you ascend the throne anyway because I'm going to prove who I am through your obstinacy. I'm going to let the world know that Israel's God is the God, that he's all powerful. And I'm going to use your stubborn heart to prove it. This is what he's saying. Then in verse number 29, he brings out how the Lord wanted Pharaoh to know that the earth is his. Moses said, after Pharaoh said, please entreat the Lord that he sends away this hail. Moses said, as soon as I get outside the city, I'll do that. You know what that tells me? That Moses had to walk right through the hail. Think about it. The hail was falling in the city. Moses said, as soon as I step outside the city, I'll entreat God. And just watch Moses just walking. Those hail balls falling everywhere, but not a one's touching him. Not a one of them. And he gets up, and Moses said this. He said, I'm going to ask God to do this that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. Boy, I tell you. Something's happened in Moses' life too, hadn't it? In all of this, we see the mighty power of God was on display. It really was. And God was trying to shake Pharaoh. He was trying to get his attention and show him, you can't fight against me, Pharaoh. Don't try it. It's a losing battle. I control the wind. I control the thunder. I control the lightning. I control the hail. I control the animals. I control your people. I control the diseases. Listen, don't try to fight me. And he was clearly demonstrating who he is. Yet Pharaoh rejected it. How could anybody look around what happened in Egypt in Pharaoh's day? How could anybody put themselves in Pharaoh's shoes and see all those plagues, all of that happening at the exact time Moses says, everything taking place, all of this? How could anybody even think it's possible to reject it and still say no? How's that possible? Let me tell you how it's possible. No fear of God. No fear of God. Can I say this to you? Seeing the power of God and his mighty ability should generate a holy fear of God, friends. All you got to do to see the power of God is look around. You say, what do you mean? There's a star outside tonight. It's the brightest star I think I've ever seen in my life. I thought it was an airplane. It's not. And I noticed it on the way here. And me and my wife were looking at it, and she said, is that a plane? I said, I don't know, is it? Beautiful. He spoke it into existence. and he knows what its name is. He has the very hairs of your head numbered. He spoke you into existence, the world into existence. Now, listen to me. Don't try to figure it out. But God was there when nothing else was. And he didn't want it that way. So he just spoke things into existence. Let me tell you what no fear of God does. You know what it does? It ignores the displays of God. Who put that sun up in the sky? Well, I'll tell you one thing. I just don't even believe God exists. Really? Really? You know what that is? That's exactly what Pharaoh did. It's ignoring and rejecting God's power. That's what it is. Let me give you number three. Number three, no fear of God rejects God's power, refuses God's will. Number three, it eventually receives God's judgment. We see this. Now, again, I'm not going to read these verses, but something else the Lord spoke to me about in this passage is how no fear of God eventually, the key word is eventually receives God's judgment. See, the Lord had been extremely patient and merciful to Pharaoh in sending Moses over and over again to express his will for the Israelites to be set free. However, time and time again, Pharaoh just kept refusing. No, 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 no. This happened to the point where God said, okay. And he began to send these plagues, these mighty judgments upon Pharaoh and his people. In this chapter, there are three of them. It's plagues 5, 6, and 7. Plague number 5 is the grievous murrain, verses 2 through 6. And this plague affected the cattle, the horses, the donkeys, the camels, the oxen, and the sheep. One man put it this way, such a plague would have had grave economic consequences in the land of Egypt. Because the oxen were depended upon for heavy labor in agriculture. Camels and asses and horses were used largely for transportation. Cattle not only provided milk, but were very much an important part of worship in the land of Egypt. In other words, the economic losses on this occasion must have affected Pharaoh greatly because he kept large numbers of cattle under his control. John Butler put it this way, talking about this plague against all the animals, talking about the horses and the oxen and all this. This all comes out in verses 2 through 6. He said this plague would be a devastating blow to their resources. Besides losing all the cattle, they lost the oxen who did their plowing, the camels who brought merchandise, the horses who were vital for military, and the sheep who were an important source of wealth. The great loss of resources would ruin their economy. So with the murrain, he took their economy and he smashed it. I mean, they couldn't make money or anything, if you will. You think America's got problems with the economy. What about Egypt? I mean, just bang. Everything crashed at one moment. And Pharaoh still said no. So God, in verses 8 through 11, this plague of boils was so bad that the magicians couldn't even stand before Moses. One man put it this way, think of the anguish such sores would cause behind your knees or where your body bends at the joints or under your arms or at the elbows, around the waist, on the ankles and on the feet. You wouldn't be able to walk or sleep or even sit down and relax. The pain would be intolerable. And remember that these boils, the boils now, not the murrain, but the boils, they came without warning. God gave them warning on a lot of them, but some of them he didn't, and one of them was the boils. And it still didn't get their attention. Crazy, friends. I mean, come on. So God, in verses 13 to 35, sent hail and fire. Great hail from right here fell from the sky and killed both man and beast in the field. Fire ran along the ground. Mighty thundering roared. What an awful sight this must have been. But the point here is this. God had given Pharaoh opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. But after he displayed no fear of God and he refused to listen, there came the time when the Lord had enough and he said, I will judge you now. Friends, listen, it is a dangerous thing to turn a deaf ear to the mercy of God. If you do not fear God and listen, if you refuse to listen to Him, eventually His judgment will fall. Listen to these verses, Proverbs 14, 26 and 27. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 19, 23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Now that's the good side of the fear of God. But remember, no fear of God eventually receives God's judgment. So here's what I'm saying. These verses tell us the good side of the fear of God. However, if you don't fear God, the opposite is true. You see what I'm saying? For instance, those who fear God have strong confidence. Those who don't have no confidence, or their confidence is very weak. Those who fear God have a place of refuge. Those who don't, there's no place of refuge. Those who fear God, they have a fountain of life. Those who don't, they have no fountain of life. Those who fear God, they have life. Those who don't fear God, they have no life. Those who fear God are satisfied. Those who don't fear God are never satisfied. Those who fear God will not be visited with evil, but those who don't will be visited with evil. These verses tell us the good side. We need to understand the bad side. Deuteronomy 6:24, the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is at this day. When you fear God, God's blessing rests upon you. When you don't, eventually His judgment falls on you. Number four, quickly. The fourth thing we notice about no fear of God is no fear of God, fourthly, regards not the Word of God, or regards not God's Word. Now, this is brought out in verse 18 and following. Notice the language in verse number 18. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them and they shall die. In other words, Moses is saying this, God has told me to tell you this, Pharaoh. Tomorrow He's going to drop great balls of hail. And He's told you to get yourself, your family, your people, and their cattle indoors. Bring them home. Because anything that's left out in the field, they're going to die. Notice verse 19. Verse 20. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. Here's where I get my fourth point. But he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. What's the point here? The Lord had Moses go to Pharaoh and tell him and his people, like I've already said, tomorrow great hail's coming. But God's given you a chance to listen to Him. Now, if you believe Him and you fear Him, get your cattle and everybody home. But if you don't care about the Word of God, just do your own thing. So what happened? Those that feared God's Word got everybody home. Those that didn't just went about their business like a normal day. Then the Word of God brings out here that it was them that feared God's Word, or them that regarded not God's Word. Can I say this to you? There are two types of people today. Those who fear God's Word and those who don't regard it at all. And if somebody truly fears the Lord, they will also fear His Word. No fear of God leads to no regard for God's Word. One man put it this way, the great separator of mankind for time and eternity is one's attitude towards God's Word. See, both the written and the incarnate Word. For instance, you show me somebody's attitude towards this book, and I show you somebody's attitude towards God. God warned them, but they didn't fear Him, and therefore suffered the consequences. A gentleman was traveling in Italy in the summer months, and as he left Rome, he was warned of the danger of sleeping at a certain place. He was told, you travel all night before you stop there, because there's a great fever that's prevailing there, and if you stop there, you're liable to get it, and it'll kill you. He arrived at this certain place at bedtime, and the air was balmy, and the accommodation was very inviting. He concluded that he's just going to stop there for the night. He's going to ignore the warning. Those whose interest would be promoted by his doing so told him that there was no danger there. So he rose in the morning, proceeded on his journey, but some days after he had reached Florence, the fever developed itself, and he was soon thereafter in his grave. You know, how crazy is it when God says something not to believe it? I mean, come on, friends. You know what no fear of God does? It takes the word of God and says, I don't believe that. You tell me that's not running rampant in our country? Come on. You know what, hey, you know what the purpose is tonight? That it doesn't turn loose inside this church. May Buffalo Ridge always be a place where it says those people believe what the Bible says out at that place. I'm telling you something, God's word will stand while the world's on fire. Don't discard God's word. Rather, stand in the fear of God and heed the warning of God. True fear of God always results in obedience to his word, always. Let me give you the fifth and final thing. This is found in verses 27 to 35. In verses 27 to 35, you can read it there if you'd like to do that. I'm going to paraphrase it. The final thing the Lord showed me here in this passage is how Pharaoh, truly not fearing God, led him, here's the fifth thing, to rebel against God's mercy. No fear of God rebels against God's mercy. Let me explain this to you. As a result of the hail and the fire and the great thunderings, I mean, Pharaoh even said, "It's get these mighty thunderings out of here." He calls Moses and Aaron, and he seems to give a sincere confession. You can read it. He said, I've sinned this time. What about all the other times? He said, okay, this time I've sinned. And my people, it is enough. Beg God to remove this from me, and I'll let you go. Seems sincere, doesn't it? Now get this. Moses told him he would spread his hands out to the Lord when he got outside the city and the thunder and the hail would cease. Moses then told Pharaoh, he said, I know, even then, you're still not going to fear God. Now get this. When the rain, the hail, and the thunder ceased, the Bible ends by saying, if you will, in the latter part of this chapter, that Pharaoh sinned yet more and hardened his heart. He continued to refuse to let the Israelites go. Now here's how the Lord spoke to me in those verses. He spoke to me in how Pharaoh seemed to seek God's mercy on him. And God was so gracious, he granted it. Did God know how he would respond, yes or no? Sure he did. But God showed him mercy anyway. But get this, but time showed how Pharaoh never did really fear God. But rather he rebelled against God's mercy in his life. Pharaoh showed how he was only seeking relief from his current situation, not obedience to the Lord. See, true fear of God, get this, friends, obeys the Lord because he's God, not in order that life will be better and more comfortable. The point here is how the Lord was tremendously merciful to Pharaoh in stopping the hail, but Pharaoh rebelled against God's mercy. He didn't submit to the Lord. He confessed to get out of trouble, but not to get right with God. And time will tell if an individual truly fears God. Get this, if they hurried, hey, don't you think there's people today that just confess something because they want to get something out of their life? If I confess this, maybe this trouble will stop. And then once that trouble's gone, they turn immediately back to the same thing. You know what that reveals? No fear of God. No fear of God. One day visiting a prison chaplain, there was a preacher who asked him whether his ministry had been attended with success. And this preacher told this story. He said, with very little, I grieve to say. He said, a short time since I thought I'd brought to a better state of mind, a man who had attempted to murder a woman and had been condemned to death. He showed great signs of contrition after the sentence was passed upon him, and I thought I could observe the dawnings of grace upon the soul. I gave him a Bible. In other words, this murderer, I gave him a Bible, and he was most studious in it here, frequently quoting passages from it, which he said convinced him of his awfulness, of his crime. The man gave altogether such a promise of reformation and of a change of heart and life that this man said, I exerted myself to the utmost and obtained for him such a commutation of his sentence as would enable him soon to begin the world again, and as I hoped with a happier result. In other words, this man is a murderer and he's sentenced to death, but he gets with this preacher and puts on a show. And this preacher gives him a Bible, and he begins to quote Scripture. He begins to put on a right kind of a front and saying, oh, I know I'm just so wicked, I'm ungodly. He said his gratitude after he called, the preacher got his sentence lowered to where he was not only not going to die, but apparently they're going to set him free eventually. Can you imagine that? And he said, I called this man and of my success and said his gratitude knew no bounds, and he said that I was his preserver, his deliverer. And then he said, and here, as he added, and he grasped my hand in parting, and he said, oh, by the way, here's your Bible. I may as well return it to you now, for I hope I shall never want it again. In other words, he wanted it if he thought it could save his life. But once he got what he wanted, it was back to his old way of living. You show me somebody that says, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and they are listening to the world's music, they are going to the world's places, they put on a good front, they confess every now and then, especially when trouble's in their life, but then everything's peachy, everything's good. You don't need God, so you just go back to the same way of life. That is no fear of God. No fear of God rebels against God's mercy. And may I say something to you? Anything short of hell is the mercy of God. It's the mercy of God. And how many people are rebelling against the goodness of God in their life? Now I'm about done. The fear of the Lord results in a departure from evil is what I'm saying, not a return to it. If Pharaoh truly feared God, he would have never rejected God's will. He would have submitted immediately. Proverbs 16:6 says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Proverbs 3:7, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Psalm 36:1, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there's no fear of God before his eyes. It's been said, and I quote, there are many sins that the presence of a child will restrain a man from committing. How true is that? In other words, there are many sins that a man would never do if a child was in the room. And how should the conscious presence of a holy God keep us from sin? If the fear of a man or of a child will restrain us and make us attempt to be holy and pure, how should the fear of the all-present and the all-seeing God keep us not only from outward sins, but from polluted thoughts and unholy desires? And let me conclude it. I'm on the conclusion. There it is. Pharaoh's real problem was he did not fear God. And it resulted in his ridiculous actions. Let us see our great God and bow in humble adoration and fear him. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 1 Peter 2:17, fear God. Psalm 33:8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Proverbs 15:16, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Ecclesiastes 12:13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. I close by asking you this question, making a few comments. Do you really fear God? Do I really fear God? How do I know? Ask yourself these questions. Am I refusing God's will? Am I rejecting his clear demonstration of power? Am I receiving His judgment? Am I regarding not His word? Am I rebelling against His mercy? If your answer is yes to any of those in that area, you don't fear God. You know the great thing about it, though? You can ask God to forgive you for that and be cleansed, wiped clean, and when you stand to your feet, you can know that your heart is standing in fear of God. Do you fear God? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love You and thank You for this time. Thank You for this challenge from this chapter and how we preach through the books of the Bible and just hit on things as You bring us to them. Help us to understand. Your heads are bowed, Your eyes are closed. As soon as they prepare, they're going to begin to play through softly. I never want to let a service come and go without making sure that everybody here is truly a born-again child of God. Are you saved? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Do you know the Lord? If you don't, come let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Maybe tonight God's speaking to you about your fear of Him. Hey, it doesn't mean that you're some wicked, rebellious person, but maybe it's just an area where you've just not been submissive. And God is tenderly just poking you in the heart and saying, you know, if you really did fear Me, you'd submit to Me in that. Is there somebody here tonight say, Jody, pray for me? God is speaking to me. I believe it is the voice of God that I hear. Speaking to my heart, challenging me with His word. Is there one like that? Would you raise your hand? Would you put it up in the air and put it back down? May the Lord bless you. God bless you. May the Lord help you. And you may be raising your hand for good things, not bad things. Whatever it is, give God the glory, God the praise, God the honor. And let's stand in fear of God. Let's all stand together, please. Father, bless it. Use it in a mighty way. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. God is speaking to you. There's time for you. Would you leave your place and come? As
you have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase.
Talk to God.
And have earnestly.
Ask Him to help you fear Him. Simple thought of no fear of God and burden our hearts. Help us not to ever be guilty of having no fear of God. Help us to live our lives fearing the Lord. Bless this church. Keep your hand upon it, please. And help us to have a Christ-like spirit, pleasing You in everything we say and do. Bless these precious people. Thank You for them coming. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you for coming on a Wednesday night. I salute you for doing the right thing. Be back on Sunday if you can. Try to bring somebody with you, okay? God bless you. Thank you for being here this evening.